Well, hey, what's going on? Happy Sunday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Coming up in just a minute, myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. But first, let's recap the Reds game from Saturday night. Reds taking on the Giants game 2 of 3 at Oracle Park in San Francisco. This was a national TV game on Fox. After the Reds went quietly in the top of the first, Nick Lodolo took the mound for the Reds. Lodolo loaded the bases with 2 outs on a pair of singles and a walk. Lodolo then faced the slumping Matt Chapman, and Matt Chapman made Lodolo pay for a 1-2 fastball, hung up a little bit too much in the zone. Chapman hit it 416 feet for a grand slam, and it was 4-0 Giants. Lodolo would settle in nicely, though. He would not give up another run, ended up retiring 16 of his final 19 batters that he faced, and that even includes one of the batters that he didn't retire, was on an error from Ellie De La Cruz. Lodolo's final line, 6 innings pitched, 5 hits, 4 earned runs, just 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. It was a struggle for the Reds on the offensive side of the ball, despite the fact the Reds actually outhit the Giants 8-7. They drew 3 walks to just the Giants 1, but the Reds made 3 outs, 3 separate outs, trying to stretch singles into doubles. Will Benson was the first one in the 3rd inning, Jake Fraley in the 4th inning, and then Jamer Candelario in the 6th inning. Reds' only run for the game was on a solo shot by Ellie De La Cruz on a ball that he crushed to center field in the 4th inning. Brent Suter would end up giving another run in the 7th. Reds would end up falling 5-1. Reds now 17-22 on the season. After the game, here's David Bell talking about the start from Nick Lodolo and the Reds' base running.
I mean, at that point in the game, we felt like we could hold him right there, that we had a shot to come back. But Nick, maybe one fastball too many that inning. Other than that, for him to hold him right there, that over the course of the season, he continues to do that. We had other starting pitchers do that. It's going to win us games. It didn't today, but, the one pitch. Pretty good shot. We may win that game with 1-2. That was the difference. Yeah, I mean, again, over the course of the year, we're going to make base running mistakes for sure. Today, I didn't consider those mistakes. I mean, when the other team makes plays like that, makes perfect throws, can't wait around to find out. And today, they got it done. Like you said, all different plays, but they came up with a big play in each case.
All right, our deep drive of the day was Ellie De La Cruz's 4th inning solo home run to center field, number 9 on the season for De La Cruz, with an exit velocity of 107.9. Distance, actually unknown. StatCast, for whatever reason, did not catch the distance, but it did go a long way. And our deep drive of the day, sponsored as always by Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production, specializing in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks as always to our friends at DSC. All right, checking out scores around the NL Central. The Brewers came back to beat the Cardinals 5-3. Pirates won a thriller over the Cubs 10-9 in the debut of Paul Skeens. Paul Skeens actually looked really great in his start early, ended up struggling a little bit at the end, and then the Pirates blew the lead, but the Cubs came back. Cubs walked like 50,000 hitters in a row, and they fall 10-9 to the Pirates. So your NL Central standings on Sunday morning: Brewers leading the way at 24-15, Cubs 23-17, Pirates now alone in third place at 18-22, Reds now alone in fourth place at 17-22, Reds are 7 games back, and the Cardinals, they are 15-24. Reds are, however, just 2.5 back of both the Nationals and the Padres. Those teams hold the final NL wild card spot. All right, well, here's myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. Stick around at the end. Tell you about all the Reds minor league action from Saturday and preview the series finale against the Giants on Sunday.
All right, Nick, another losing edition of Chatterbox Reds. This one felt similar to most of the other ones. However, you felt like the Reds kind of outplayed, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong for saying this. Sure, someone want to crush me for saying it. It felt like the Reds kind of outplayed the Giants. You know, I thought they had some good at-bats, and for all intents and purposes, threw the ball really well. But you know what? It doesn't matter because when the Giants capitalized, they capitalized big.
Yeah, Reds had 8 hits. Giants had 7 hits. Reds had 3 walks. Giants had 1 walk. So, yeah.
Reds got thrown on the bases, though, like 5-6 times, which I'm sure we'll get into. But let's just start right where we need to start at. You know, I know we always talk about the starting pitching usually first, but you know what? You're right. Let's talk about the base running. I'll just get ahead of this. I'm going to probably make enemies on both sides of the aisle, you know? And I think that there are times where if you're doing your job right, or maybe you have a base perspective, then I think that you will piss off both sides of the aisle. Because I don't think that every base running mistake, or what Seamer's saying is a mistake today, was actually a mistake. Candelario was a great play. I mean, I actually think that that's the right move. If that guy... Now, I will hand up in the air. Let me say this. If there's a replay, and someone can show me the replay, but there wasn't replays, I don't know if you've noticed today, on Fox, because they decided they were going to run the C team out there. And by C, I mean kids show. But it was, it's a four-letter word. And they ultimately, at the end of it all, didn't show a replay. If Candelario didn't hustle out of the box, I take everything I'm about to say back. Okay, if he was jogging down the first baseline, I don't want anybody to think that I'm saying that that's good. But I do think that if you hit a ball that hard, and you would like, I mean, the ball had to perfectly bounce to the right fielder, he gets thrown out at second base, yeah? Benson, bang, bang play. I don't know. But the one that really pissed me off, the one that I just don't understand what the logic is here. The plays right in front of you is Fraley. I don't mean to crush Fraley, but it's first and third, Nick, with a guy that's not a very good, like, don't you also have to know who's on the mound a little bit too? Like, if this is Nolan Ryan and you know that runs are a premium, then okay, like maybe you can convince me we should be a little extra aggressive on the base pass because the chances of getting another hit in that inning are slim to none. But that wasn't the case today. I mean, they had good at-bats. You know, they were seeing the ball relatively well. They hit some balls hard, and Fraley gets a base hit, makes it first and third, or what you thought was going to be first and third, with one out. Guy was going to be in a little bit of trouble there, and you bail him out. So the Reds run into a bunch of outs today on the base pass. And I do think two of them were I don't know, I can live with two of them. The Fraley one, it's just, I don't get it, man. I really don't understand it, Nick.
Yeah, I agree. The Fraley one was probably the only one I think was actually egregious, just because Ramos had already thrown a guy out, so you'd already saw him do it. It's not like, you know, didn't already happen in the game. I don't want to get too hard on Fraley because he did have 3 hits today. Stole a bag. Like, he actually had the best game offensively of anyone. So Benson, I mean, he was maybe safe. So are we really going to be mad at a guy trying to take an extra base when he was probably, you know, was within inches?
And not only that, to be clear, for those that didn't get a chance to see it, especially on the podcast, it was a bang-bang play. They called him out. If they would have called him safe, the Reds actually did try to review it. If they would have called him safe, the play would have been stance. He would have been safe. And it was a really good throw. So it wasn't like it was a horrible throw, and then the second baseman had to dive back to the base, and he was still a bang-bang play. So just to put some color on that, for those that are wondering, like, what the hell we're talking about, if you didn't get a chance to see it, it was a good throw too, Nick, to be fair.
All three of those were good throws. I mean, you got to give credit to the Giants. They made plays. If you were a Giants fan, you're not thinking, oh, man, that was some dumb base running by the Reds. You're like, oh, wow, what a great throw by Ramos. Oh, wow, what a great throw by Yastrzemski. I mean, they made plays. Defense matters. I wish we'd see more of those plays with the Reds, to be honest, on the other side. I think overall, though, I think you got to give more credit to the Giants. They made plays. Do we want this team to play station-to-station baseball? This team is not built for station-to-station baseball. They don't hit home runs. They have to be aggressive. And right now it's been brutal because it feels like they're losing almost every night. And there's been a lot of these ones that haven't gone their way. And I think it's just a big snowball. I think it's right now, I think it's it's just a bad time. I don't think this is necessarily some big giant problem that David Bell needs to address. Like these weren't like plays where they were thrown out by 5 feet. Like they were all right at the bag. You know, I don't know. Most of it, it's tough. It's just, you know.
It is a little tough luck. It is a little tough luck. But here's what I'm going to say about that. I do think you get on X. I spend too much time on there from time to time, and I'm reading the comments, and I'm trying to get a grasp of how Reds Nation's feeling. And I do think that there is some semblance of a notion that there's a part of us, and I say us as the fan base, that thinks we're just unlucky. I think good teams or above average teams is what we'll use the phrase as. They find a way to overcome bad luck from time to time too. Like this team isn't just, you know, whatever we are now, 4 or 5 games under 500 because of bad luck. Totally. I mean, we've had bad baseball. This has been a bad baseball team. Let's not act like they haven't been poor at the plate. Let's not act like their offensive approaches the last 2 weeks have been abysmal. Yes, we can try to grasp for straws around here, and I think that we do that from time to time to try to make ourselves feel better. That's a good coping mechanism that we've developed here in Cincinnati, but we've not got that many good, consistent players. We just don't have them right now. And until we find some guys that are going to come to the ball yard every day or every other day at least and give us consistency, we are not going to be pleased. And we've not found consistency all that often. We've had guys that had good stretches. Steer, great stretch to start the year. Ellie De La Cruz, for as many people, to paint a perfect picture around this, I'm going to try to tie a bow on this really quickly, is this before I go on a long rant. Is if I told you before the season and or maybe after the first month of the season that Ellie De La Cruz was probably going to be your most consistent player, when you walk out there every day, he's probably going to be the guy that's going to give you what you need on a day-in, day-out basis, you would have been, quite honestly, really surprised. You would have said, you know what, Ellie, I expect probably a little feast or famine from time to time. He's going to come up like he did last year, be unbelievable for 2 weeks, and then go into a week or week and a half slump, and then he comes roaring back, and you just got to live with that until he kind of gets his footing in Major League Baseball. But no, to be fair to Ellie, that's not been the case. The rest of these guys that have been around forever, that is the case. Tyler Stevenson struggles, and then he comes back for a week or so. Jonathan India, God love him. I mean, God rest his baseball soul. It's just not been good. It's been bad all year long. You know, I know TJ Friedl just got back, but he's been gone. Stuart Fairchild's been asked to do things. Will Benson's been completely gone outside of, what, maybe the first week of the season. So I just want to temper I guess what I'm trying to get at here is this. I don't want us all to sit back and be like, oh, it's just tough luck every single night. The Reds had chances. For instance, they walk a guy in I don't know what inning that was, but then Jonathan India immediately rolls over a ground ball and hits into a double play, kills the inning. And not only that, if you remember, he was struggling with his command because I think the very next hitter he walked. So it was like they get 3 or 4 guys on and they can't score runs. I guess it's bad luck or maybe it's just bad baseball. I don't know.
That was actually my next point is, I mean, you can sit here and you can crush Fraley for trying to make something happen. Guy had 3 hits today. Jonathan India's hitting .210 with a .620 OPS. That was the 6th inning. Santiago Espinal walked. He grounds into a double play on a 84-mile-an-hour changeup right in the middle of the plate. I mean, Jonathan India was kept on this team basically because, hey, we thought we could have another bat. Basically, the Reds decided to keep Jonathan India over going out and getting a DH type. And Jonathan India has not produced at all. I'm not going to give up on Jonathan India. It's a long season. But when we talk about who's been the most disappointing this year, he's up there. I don't know. The Reds did a lot to keep him around, and he has not produced at all.
Yeah. No, he's been terrible. He genuinely has been terrible. And when you come and you do these shows every single day, you try to, like, I do try to temper myself from getting into a spot where you just jump to conclusions on certain players. And we've done that. Obviously, we try to be entertaining and fun at times and be like, oh, you know, this guy's like, Jonathan India is legitimately worthless. He doesn't have a ton of speed. Okay. He's horrifically defensively. And if he's not going to produce at the plate, there is not a single thing that this guy possesses that I'm like, okay, at least I can hang my hat on this. And I'm not out on India, to be clear, but when you need, like, this is the thing. When you need, when you, when your team needs somebody to step up, it just seems like we can't get anybody else to do that besides Ellie De La Cruz, which is absurd to say, but that's how I feel. You know, maybe someone will point to Spencer Steer and say that's it too, but like, you know, I mean, Steer went, I'm not trying to excuse it, but he went, what, almost a 3-week stretch where he was not good. He plays, I mean, I'm going to say it, and I love Spencer Steer, but he doesn't play outfield all that well. So defensively, it's just like, I don't want to turn this into a show of just killing all of our guys, but I think that we need to be very hesitant to sit here and act like this is a bad luck stretch and we're going to snap right out of it. So we shall find out. There's blame that can go around everywhere, including the coaching staff too. And I just want to say one final thing about the base running thing before we move on. You know, some people blame Cal Gill, the first base coach, about these things. And I just, like I said, I'll say it again. I'll say it until I'm blue in the face, and maybe I'm wrong. But the first base coach is not making the decision whether to go to two or not when the balls hit the right field. Everything's right in front of you. You see the whole entire play. You have the decision-making process. Santiago Espinal today rounds first base in that last inning, realizes it wasn't Cal Gill telling Espinal to come back to the bag. That was Espinal's decision. And to be fair and to be very clear, sometimes, you know, like I said, Fraley's, he had the best game today, had the worst base running decision of the day. And I guess I'll just say this. Situations matter. Like, we can sit here and say that the Reds out hit the Giants today, and they did. And they outwalked the Giants today, and they did. But you know what? When the bases were loaded with two outs in the first inning, Matt Chapman had a big at bat. He made a winning play. Other teams are making winning plays when it matters, and we are not. Leave it at that.
Yeah, like that's fair.
All right. Nick Lodolo. I mean, what do you want to say? I think he threw the ball really, really well. I just hated the decision. I mean, I know it's hindsight 2020, Nick, because it's like people are going to be like, well, you wouldn't have said that if the guy would have popped it up. And probably the answer, you're right. I probably wouldn't have brought it up because it wouldn't have been a big point. I just don't understand what the decision-making process there was to try to throw a middle-end fastball in that spot. Like, you have the best slider in the game of baseball, or maybe the best slider in the game of baseball. You're in a favorable count. Like, why not try to use that?
Yeah, I mean, Matt Chapman came in hitting 205 with a 586 OPS. I mean, you know, you're trying to make sure you throw strikes to the guy. You're trying to stay in the count. I'm sure that pitch wasn't supposed to be there. It got left up a little bit, but I mean, there's a little bit of rust, but I mean, you see how dominant he is after the first inning, and you know, it is what it is. It just would be nice if the offense could win a game for one of these guys. It'd be nice if you gave up four runs. It's not a death sentence. It's really hard to be like, yeah, Lodolo, man, it'd be nice to see him come out better in the first. It'd be nice to see them pick him up.
Yeah. Lodolo threw the ball really, really well too. And here's the thing, like, everyone's like, well, you take that pitch away and, you know, it would have been, the Reds had a chance. Like, we scored one run again. Hey, I'm so tired of talking about the pitching staff having to do something better. I'm so tired of it. I was waiting for Suter to come out and give up 3 or 4 runs, and he was going to be a topic of conversation about how he's so bad. And it's just like, I'm sorry, but I am absolutely whipped to the tails about talking about this pitching staff. I just can't do it anymore. They're fantastic. You take this pitching staff and you put them on how many other teams in the league, and it makes their team, what, 5 to 6, maybe 7 wins better throughout the entire season. I'd say almost, I mean, what, 20 teams somewhere in there. I don't have that in front of me, but I'd be willing to bet 20 teams would love to have our starting five and get the consistency that they've shown. But instead, this offense has been so bad, we've sat here and we've not even get to reap the benefits of it. They're fantastic. They really have done a fantastic job. So, you know, Lodolo, outside of maybe that first inning winner, again, I'm not going to say one pitch because the bases were loaded, but, you know, it's just unfortunate that this offense can finally pick. Can this offense it's the same thing I said last year. Can they at one point just pick this team up? Can they just rise to the occasion and just pick them up? You know, you give up four runs in the first inning, you hold them through almost the damn near rest of the game, and you just can't find a way to come back and help out. Just nope, never helps. Never helps. Like a bad husband. Doesn't do anything anytime, ever. No, at no point do they do anything. That's what my wife's been saying about me all day today.
Woof.
Yeah, it's the truth. Just saying.
I don't know what to say after that.
Ellie De La Cruz, your saving grace.
It's a good segue. Yeah, Ellie's pretty good.
You speechless right now? I think Ellie's really good. Here's what I'll say. I was on the bandwagon of not signing this guy because I was just like, and I say not signing him. Let me be clear again. Giving this guy some crazy contract for 12, 13, 14, 15 years. I don't know. I mean, he's a future star of baseball unless if he doesn't get hurt, of course. There's always the asterisks of the things that could possibly happen to people. Shout out Wander Franco. But my point is like if nothing changes and he's allowed to play baseball, he's a superstar. Point blank.
Well, the Rays don't have to pay for Wander Franco, so like they're going to be okay.
Like, I know. Contract. I'm saying that I meant just for his career as a whole. If he doesn't get hurt and he doesn't have a situation that pulls him out of baseball, he will be a perennial all-star. And I'll say something that people are going to crush me for. There's no doubt in my mind that his number would. I'll say it. I don't care. He'll be in the Reds Hall of Fame if they sign him. He'll be in the Reds Hall of Fame if they sign him. And he doesn't
the
get
Reds Hall, the Reds Hall of Fame.
Well, I'm not going to go down. I'm not.
He should already be in the Reds Hall of Fame.
I am not going down the path of putting him in the Hall of Fame, Nick, like you. But I will put him in the Reds Hall of Fame. I did see Bronson Arroyo got in the Reds Hall of Fame. That's enough for me to say that Ellie De La Cruz will be in the Reds Hall of Fame.
I think Ellie De La Cruz for the Reds Hall of Fame is like minus 1,100. It's like your Kansas money line bet right now.
Well, people told me not to take it.
Yeah. The Game Time app is now an authorized ticket marketplace for Major League Baseball. That makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch. With killer last-minute deals, all-in pricing, views from your seat, and the lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. With all-in pricing, you can toggle this feature, and it shows you the total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. The lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with the Game Time app. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CINCY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code CINCY, C-I-N-C-Y, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. And we also want to remind you that you can call or text 988 at any time, day or night. The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is a place to get support for anything related to mental health. Whether it's an immediate crisis, simply wanting to find out how to connect with care, or anything in between, it's a 100% confidential, secure, and anonymous way to reach out for help when you don't know where else to turn. To connect, call or text 988 or visit mantherapy.org to get help. It's okay not to be okay.
You got anything to add about Ellie? Do you want to say some nice things about him or what?
I did think it was fun. I did like do you see the play with Candelario?
Where he did see that. There's going to be some Fred from Facebook's going to mention his overthrow.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. I thought you meant Fred from Facebook was going to be upset that he was joking around while they were losing.
Yeah. Well, not only that, could you imagine if Candelario sailed that ball over the first baseman's head? It would have been Ellie's fault.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't know.
He just has fun, man. He's one of a kind.
The breath of fresh air.
Really, really happy he's on our team right now.
Yeah. He's a breath of fresh air. He's a fun player. He's a superstar, and he's great for Cincinnati. And I really do hope they can find a way to make it stick. We need Matt McClain too.
He's got all the pressure in the world on him. I mean, they were talking on the broadcast yesterday about how whenever he go on a road series, they have to have like an availability for him in the first game. Like they don't have to do that for anyone else. Yeah. Just the amount of pressure that he's under, and he's out there having a great time. Like he doesn't let it get to him. That's what makes him as special as he is.
Yeah. He's the only true bright spot this team has. And I mean, sad to say, but I think that's probably the case.
other than starting pitching.
Yes, but I would even argue the starting pitching is not like, the starting pitching is like really good. They're not like Hall of Fame good. Like they're not, I'm just saying, like they're not like, I watch LA De La Cruz play baseball and you're just like, all right, there's no one else in the world that can do this. I love our starters, but there's not one time I've watched a Red starter go out there and be like, there's no one else in the world that can do this.
So. And Craig Crings is a great point. Ellie hasn't even had a day off yet.
No. I mean, he's just
run out there every night.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happens when you're the only guy out there that seems to be able to produce on a consistent basis. They're just going to run his to the ground. And I don't think he will run to the ground. I think he's talented enough to play every day. But point is like, they're not going to give him the day off. It's just feels like he's the, maybe a sour subject for me, but it feels like you're coaching a really bad youth team right now, and he's like the only kid out there that's like really, really good, or he's above average, or he's better than everybody else. And you're like, I'm sorry, I'd like to give you a break, Johnny, but you're not going to get one. You're going to be out. You're going to play all 40 minutes today. Matt Wells says, is there an advanced stat that captures the ability to have two consecutive positive offensive plays? The Reds didn't have one tonight. No rallies. It does feel like that. It does feel like that right now. I don't know if there's a statistic that would showcase that well, but it does feel like, Nick, the Reds are able to kind of, over the course of a game, statistically please, not all the time, of course, but like today, they statistically please the box score per se. You got the hits. You look at a few guys. They had some nice days. You get a couple walks. But boy, can they not get the big hit? They can't find a way to scrap and claw. Now, they did run themselves out of a few innings here on the base pass, and we already talked about that. But point is it just does not feel like this team's capable of putting a rally together and getting 6, 7, 8, 9 runs at a baseball game right now.
What I would add to that is it would feel a lot better if they had guys that get the ball to the ballpark more.
Sure.
Like, that's a big problem, because if you hit the ball to the ballpark, it makes up for double plays, you know, all those kind of things. Right. You score immediately. So that's a problem. Reds are number one in baseball right now in base running runs added. It's the only actual analytical stat that tries I don't know how perfect it is. I'm not going to sit here and be like, this is the perfect be-all, end-all stat. But there's only one stat that tries to...
I believe that. And I'll tell you why I believe that. You know why we believe that.
Ellie De La Cruz.
Yeah. I mean, when he steals second base, steals third base, and they hit a little roll, a weak ground out to shortstop, it's like, well, there's a run, all because of Ellie De La Cruz running the bases. So
And Stewart last night.
Yeah, and Stewart. But yeah, I believe that. I don't know if that helps out what he was saying, but yes, I do believe what you're saying.
Number one, I don't know. I would like to see it. I'd like to see a couple games where, man, just they make these aggressive plays and it works out, and just it would be nice to it was kind of like needing a win yesterday. Now they kind of need just some of this aggressiveness to kind of stack up, have 3 or 4 in a row where you're like, oh, okay, that's why they do this all the time.
I think it goes hand in hand too, though, Nick. Like, I really do. I think that the offensive struggles have kind of pushed them to maybe be a little overly aggressive. And I think that when you're just trying to make anything happen, right? You're like, it again, to use the analogy of other sports, when you watch other sports, you can tell that there are times where, you know, when football teams are having a hard time moving the ball down the field, they don't stay ahead of the chains. They don't take the 3 or 4 yard play. They're looking for the big play. Or in basketball, you know, some teams, they just fall in love with the 3-point shot in a certain game, and it just unfortunately they die by it. It feels like the Reds are being overly aggressive at times right now because they don't trust the next guy. If you trust, like, my point with Fraley today is, if he just trusts the next guy, or he knows, like this is a ridiculous analogy, but I'll take it to the umpteenth degree, Nick. If Jake Fraley knew Barry Bonds was hitting behind him today, I'm just saying, though, we all know for a damn fact he doesn't even consider going to second base. And I know that that's ridiculous to say, and he doesn't have Barry Bonds behind him, and I'm not suggesting that he does, but my point is, if you do trust the guy behind you, you will be a little less aggressive in believing that you have to make this crazy play, or you have to try to get in the scoring position to get knocked in. So it's just like we're cannibalizing ourselves right now, and we'll find our stride hopefully at some point, I think, but we'll find out. I don't know.
To add to your point, it doesn't mean that this would have happened, because we know Just because one thing happened doesn't mean the next thing would have happened. But
right.
The next batter right after Fraley got thrown out was Tyler Stevenson, hit a weak ground ball that would have been an easy double play.
Correct.
That would have ended the inning. So, I mean, that, but I don't think, like, Benson and Candelario, I think those are, I don't think if the Reds were on a five-game winning streak, five-game losing streak, I think they're going on those anytime.
Yes.
I think that's automatic go. Didn't work out today. I tip my hat to the old Ramos. You know, hey, look, maybe it's a little bit on
Yastrzemski was making the throws.
Well, no, Ramos threw out Benson, and then Yastrzemski.
Yeah.
But Ramos was all over the field. Ramos made a nice catch in left field. You know, look, hey, we made a lot of jokes at Henry's expense, and you know, maybe we need to take some ownership of that because Haliote seemed to come out with a vengeance.
Well, what I was going to say, who was the flare by where he made the diving catch? That was a huge, just a massive catch. And I don't remember who it was.
There's like two runners. There's like two runners on.
There was one runner on, and then he ended up walking the next guy on four straight pitches. And I don't remember who it was. That's my brain's just completely shattered at this point.
It was Fraley.
It was a left-handed hitter. So it was either Friedel, Fraley. Chats. I'm looking for the chat to help me out. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Point is that we would have had the bases loaded with nobody out if he doesn't make that play. And he made the play. And like you said, I mean, sometimes the other team just makes plays. And they did today. And you don't like to admit that because right now, this team has played so bad for 2 weeks, they've not given themselves margin for error. They've not done it. So it was Fraley who hit the flare to left. There's that.
Yeah. Baseball's a funny game. I would not have thought the Reds would have won last night. I thought today was the one that I felt the most comfortable about of the weekend.
Yeah. Well, I just... Yeah, I saying these games are must-win is starting to get maybe overreactionary, but, I mean, you got to win baseball games like today. You have to win these games. This team's not good enough, in my opinion, to have an advantage like they had today and not win. They out-hit them. They had the better starter on the mound, and they just had, I don't want to call it bad luck, but like Candelario's ball is a perfect example. That ball, how the hell is that ball hit the brick wall like that and bounce straight to the guy? Like, it's one thing, Nick, for it to hit and bounce like in the air and it have a little bit of air on it and bounce straight to the guy. No, it hit like an absolute rocket and then bounced straight. Like when I say straight back, I'm not talking about like pop it in the air. It was a BB right back to him. And then he throws a perfect throw to second base and he tags out Candelario. And in Candelario's home run, it would have been a home run in what, 12 parks? So I don't know, man. But again, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, bad luck. That's just, we got bad luck. We're a good team, but we got bad luck. I'm not doing that because I don't believe that for a single second.
Yeah, I did have Fraley and Candelario next just because I wasn't sure if we were going to bring them up. I did want to mention that, you know, we already said it earlier, but Fraley had three hits. Really good to see him starting to swing the bat better. Base running aside, Candelario, he looks like a completely different hitter. So that's certainly two players that are trending the right direction, and you need it right now. You know, hopefully TJ Friedel can get going. I believe he will. I mean, he got rushed back. Next time we see someone and we're like, why are they rehabbing? Just call them up right now. Well, remember TJ Friedel and how it, you know, kind of sometimes takes a little while to get going off of an injury for a couple months, but I believe he'll get there. I think Steer will get there. You know, at least that's part of a lineup.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I as much as we want to say they're three back of the wild card, they're also three back of being the one of the three worst teams in the National League. Two games out from being in the last place of the NL Central. By the way, how close are we allowed to say the Cardinals suck too? Can we do that yet? Are we allowed to do that? I think I'm not trying to take a victory lap yet. But I was just maybe suggesting that before the season started. Like, hey, Cardinals might just be bad.
Have you seen Paul Goldschmidt's numbers?
Boy. But, you know, here's the thing that's crazy about that. Like, we all know this is going to happen at some point to all these guys. Right? Like it if it happened to Joey Votto, it can happen to anybody. You know? Like, I'm not. At some point, your age catches up to you and you're not good anymore. I mean, Goldschmidt's probably there.
Unless 59 WRC plus.
He's been bad. He's been incredibly bad. Yeah, what's India right now? Where's he at?
I'm going to do a blind guess here. I'm going to guess 68.
What is
he's it? 81.
Damn.
And he is 81. Oh, man.
I feel sorry for St. Louis fans in a little bit for that one. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a guy being almost two times as bad as the guy we're hitting here complaining about?
Wow.
Brutal. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, listen, chat, we've come a long way. We'll be fine. But well, let's move into other things. NL Central news. We'll stay in the NL Central. We got Paul Skeens made his MLB debut. I had mentioned it, obviously, on draft night that I think he'll be a bust. That was more of a joke, obviously. I will say this. Maybe people hate me for saying this. If there's any team in the Central that I would hope, if it's not going to be the Reds that have an immense amount of success, I would prefer it to be the freaking Pirates, man. Like, at some point, let's let the guys that have struggled, let's let the people that have just been absolutely beaten to hell and back, like the Reds and the Pirates fans have been, maybe we can have some fun too at some point, you know? And I know people are going to hate the Pirates because it's Pittsburgh and you live in Cincinnati. I also, people know they hate the Pirates because they did the Cueto. Sorry for bringing that bad memory back. But, you know, good for him. Now, I will admit, and I don't know how you feel about this, I'm going to kind of pigtail this, and you could mention Skeens if you want here in a minute, but I was gonna pigtail this into some Reds here. The fact that he looks just like Strasburg, does that not concern you if you're Pittsburgh a little bit? Not in the sense that Strasburg helped them win the World Series, but long term, all these guys are going down with injuries. It appears that he's pretty much one of the same of those types of guys. I would be relatively concerned about that. And that's also the reason why I'm not sure the Reds are going to go and get Chase Burns, but we'll find out in the draft. Your overall thoughts on Paul Skeens or whatever else you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a concern that you throw 102 miles an hour over and over and over again that he could catch up to you. I'm a Pirates fan, man. Just put on the Alexis Diaz gloves, glasses, like, just whatever. It is what it is. You just enjoy this guy. Don't worry about that. It's not going to matter if you worry about that. But you know, I was watching a little bit of that game today, and I was thinking kind of along the same lines as you. I was like, man, it would be really cool if the Reds and Pirates were the two teams atop the NL Central. And I know I said it before, but I went to Pittsburgh in 2013 at the end of the year. Both the Reds and the Pirates were good that year. That atmosphere was awesome. And I think that would be a fun rival. I think the Cubs would be a pretty fun rivalry, too. I was also thinking, you know, it's also partially because the Reds haven't been to the playoffs like ever.
Right.
But Reds have never played any of these NL Central teams in the playoffs. Yeah. Like, you know, like the Cubs have played the Pirates. Well, the Reds played the Pirates in the wild card game. I guess that's the only one.
Yeah.
But there's never been, Reds have never played the Cardinals in the playoffs. They've never played the Brewers in the playoffs. That would be kind of fun to kind of get one of these teams to play in a series now that that's a little bit. Now that they don't have the rule where you can't play your division rivals in the division series, that rule went away. That was forever up until they added the extra wild cards. I think that would be really fun to see the Reds and one of these teams have a actual series, kind of build a rivalry. I think that'd just be really good for the Reds and whatever other city, especially if it was Pittsburgh.
I mean, I have no ill will towards him. He's not done anything to me yet, so I don't really have a problem with him. Now, if he goes out and shoves a bunch, then I'm sure he'll turn into the way that I felt about Wainwright. I'm sure he'll turn into the way I felt about Yadier Molina. And I'm sure he'll turn into the way I felt about Jim Edmonds and all the other guys. And thanks for Jim Edmonds for coming over and doing a couple years of service for the Reds or whatever that was, a year or whatever. I'm not talking about that Jim Edmonds, the one that played in St. Louis. So,
I'm kind of, I'm kind of happy the Reds don't see the Pirates till like later in the year, and hopefully, like, the league's caught up to Skeens a little bit.
Sure.
It's kind of nice that the Reds aren't the first couple starts, because I think he's probably going to have some instant success. I think his first couple starts are probably pretty dominant. And then you'll see some teams find some tweaks, and, you know, like it is with everyone. But it might actually be a benefit not playing the Pirates a lot early in the year. And he also might get shut down at some point, too. All right, well, let's get you caught up on all of the Reds minor league action from Saturday. We'll start off with AAA, where the Louisville Bats, they won 6-5 over Indianapolis. The Bats improved to 20-18 on the season. Lyon Richardson got the start. He was okay. 4 2/3 innings, 6 hits, 3 earned runs, 4 walks, 4 strikeouts. Not a whole lot from the offensive guys that we typically track. Blake Dunn 0-4 with the walk. Rhys Hines 0-4 with the walk. Nick Martini 0-3 with the walk. Sam Moale, on his first game since being optioned down to AAA, he threw a scoreless inning, dig up a hit and a walk, but he struck out 3 batters. Edwin Rios, he had a really good day for the Bats. He went 1-2 with 2 walks, scored 3 runs, and hit his 6th home run of the season. All right, now down to AA, the Chattanooga Lookouts. They lost 5-4 to Tennessee. Lookouts fall to 10-22 on the season. But the story of the day was Rhett Lauder making his first start at AA. Overall, pretty positive start. 5 innings pitched, 6 hits, 3 earned runs, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. Lauder actually gave up 2 of those runs in his final inning of work. He was pretty sharp early in the game. On the offensive side of the ball, Bubba Thompson was 0-4. Tyler Callahan, he did walk twice. He stole his 11th base of the season as Tyler Callahan looking a lot better after a slow start to the season. Fortunately, though, Austin Hendrick was 0-4, 2 strikeouts. Reds' former top pick in 2020, Austin Hendrick, now hitting just .167 with a .457 OPS, and he's now over 100 at-bats already in the season. Down to High A, the Dayton Dragons, they lost 9-3 to Lake County. Dragons, they're struggling a little bit of late. They're down to 13-19 on the season. Jacob Herdebees actually is with the Dragons right now, continuing his rehab, coming back from an injury. He had a great day, 2-4 with a double. Cam Collier, he struggled a little bit of late. He was 0-4. Sal Stewart, 1-4 with a double. Hector Rodriguez, 0-4. Jay Allen, 1-4. Starting pitcher in this game was Javi Rivera. He gave up 7 hits and 4 earned runs over 4 innings pitched. It's been a tough season so far for Javi Rivera. Pitcher with some promise. He's got an ERA of an even 10 through his first 6 starts of the season. Andrew Moore, part of the return for Luis Castillo, he pitched in this game. Moore gave up 2 hits and 2 earned runs over an inning and a third. Moore actually got sent down to Dayton as Rhett Lauder got called up. Not sure if this is more of a formality type thing, just kind of more of a better fit where they can use Moore or not. Moore wasn't exactly pitching very poorly with the Lookouts. All right, down to low A, the Daytona Tortugas, they were blanked 6-0 by Lakeland. Tortugas got just 3 hits on the game. They fall to 18-14 on the season. Alfredo Duno was on base twice, though. He did 1-3 with a walk. Ricardo Cabrera, tough day, 0-4, 3 strikeouts. And then also, the Arizona Complex League, the ACL Reds, they won 16-4 over the Brewers. Sammy Stafura, he was incredible, 4-6, double, a walk, drove in 3 runs. Sammy Stafura is hitting .524, OPS over .1300 through his first 5 professional games with the Reds. And then Shang-In Lin, he was 2-5 with a triple, a walk, drove in 3 runs. Lin's batting .467, OPS almost at .1300 through his 5 games. Cole Schoenwetter, tough outing for him, gave up 3 runs, 6 hits over 3 innings pitched. All right, well, Reds and Giants back at it on Sunday. This will be a 4:05 start time. Frankie Montas for the Reds, 2-3, 3.55 ERA, up against the lefty Kyle Harrison, 3-1, 3.20 ERA. Kyle Harrison, you might remember him from last year. He made a historic home debut with the Giants against the Reds on August 28th, 2023. Harrison went 6 1/3, 3 hits, no runs, 2 walks, and struck out 11. Harrison became the first Giants starting pitcher to begin a game with 5 consecutive strikeouts since Randy Johnson in 2009. He also became the youngest Giants pitcher to strike out 11 since Bumgarner in 2011. Really an incredible start. Harrison was the number 23 prospect in all of baseball entering the season, according to MLB Pipeline. He's since graduated from that list, but he's pitching well. His last start against the Rockies, 7 shutout innings. He hasn't allowed a home run in his last 4 starts. In that game, the only two Reds that are active that had a hit were TJ Friedl and Luke Maley. All right, for the Reds, Frankie Montas, he was brilliant his last start back at GABP against the Diamondbacks. Just one run allowed over six innings pitched. Only walked one batter and struck out seven. Montas has a career 1.50 ERA in two starts against the Giants. Both those starts did, however, come back in 2021. Active Giants against Montas are 5-for-20. Matt Chapman's 1-for-3 with a double. Lamont Wade Jr. is 1-for-6 with a home run. And Yastrzemski is 1-for-5. All right, well, thanks so much for listening today to Chatterbox Reds. Hopefully the Reds on Sunday can get out of San Francisco with a sweep. That would be a really, really good development for our Red Legs. If you haven't subscribed to Chatterbox Reds, wherever you listen to this podcast, make sure you do that right now. Also, if you could leave us a 5-star review, we would really appreciate that. But most importantly, if you know a Reds fan, make sure you tell them about Chatterbox Reds. And then we have new podcasts every single day, all season long, recapping each of the Reds games. A lot of West Coast games coming up. We'll still have a podcast in your feed bright and early each and every day, recapping those games. We'll hope that you have a fantastic Sunday. We'll see you on Chatterbox Reds Live on Sundays. That's the only day we don't go live immediately after the game. We go live at 9 o'clock. Works out well on Sundays, especially on this special Sunday, which is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day to my mother, Sherry Kirby, and happy Mother's Day to my wife, Andrea, who's just an incredible rock star raising our kids. She is the absolute best, and I love her very much. All right, well, we'll talk again soon. Have a great day. Go Reds.